This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
We're dealing with overcoming parenting through fear tonight. Now, some of you may think that this doesn't apply to you. I thought about it doesn't apply to me, but I am a grandparent, so I'm still parenting. And if you are neither a parent or a grandparent, you will still be feeding into new lives that come to Jesus Christ. So this word is still for you. Amen? Turn with me to Psalms 127. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight that you continue to raise up a people who will trust you. That in these last times when there seems to be lawlessness at every turn, at every side, there is a God who still comes through for his people. That you are raising up a people who will trust you. Lord, you are raising up a people who will stand firm in your word no matter what. It doesn't matter what weapon the devil uses. We know tonight that no weapon can prosper against us. Lord, we ask that you will bring that revelation to our hearts, especially in this area of parenting. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are waking up at night with anxiety and not sleeping through the night, if you have got sorrow in your heart or fear in your heart regarding your children, then this message is for you. Then you are parenting through fear. If you are not resting, if you are waking up in the middle of the night with absolute trepidation, then the Bible tells us that you are building the house and not God. And we need God to build a house. You see, beloved, in Psalm 127 it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. So whatever you're doing, no matter what anxiety you are exercising or controls or boundaries that you're setting up for these kids, if it's not God, you are working in vain. Your labor is, there's probably some benefit in it, but ultimately it is in vain, the Bible says. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. If God has determined that the city is going to come down, you can do whatever you want. But if God has determined that that city is going to stand, then you can be sure that he will keep it. He says in verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early or to sit up late waiting for them to get home. How many of you have had that experience? You sit there watching the minute go by and you begin to panic as soon as the minute has gone over and they should have been home and they are not home. The Bible tells us that it is a vain thing for you to try to rise up early to catch them when they get in, or sit up late, or to eat the bread of sorrows. For he gives his beloved sleep. We used to do this. When we learned this, we used to struggle like anything when our kids wouldn't come home. And I'd be sitting up there, I'd be waking up. You cannot sleep, you can't do anything because you're just worried about where are these kids. And the imagination, once the minute hand goes over, the enemy gets in and you begin to worry about all kinds of things. None of it is true. None of it is going to happen. But the enemy gets in and he has got you convinced 5 minutes after the hour that the kids are in an accident, they're doing drugs or they're having sex or they're doing something illegal. And the Bible says that you are going to struggle with this. You're not going to sleep. When God spoke this into our heart, He gave us a simple method. When we came to rest, even though my son wasn't walking with the Lord as he should, God gave us rest. He says, I give my beloved sleep. And so we used to set the alarm clock. We used to tell them, if it was 10 o'clock or 10:30 or 11 at the latest, this is our system of peace. We set the alarm clock, let's say it was 11 o'clock at night. We'd set the alarm clock for 11 p.m. and set it. We'd go to sleep. They have to come home, sneak into the bedroom, and hit the button. If they didn't get in on time, the alarm clock went off. They were dead. We slept like babies. There were times I woke up in the morning, the alarm clock didn't go off because the kids got in, hit the button and went to bed. So God will give you sleep. He gives His beloved sleep. You know, so many times we think we come to Christ, so many Christians lose their brains. But God comes to give us wisdom. He comes to give us understanding in these issues. And so we understand that unless He builds the house, you're going to labor in vain. You're not going to sleep. And then He goes on to say, because children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. They will be, and if you give them to God, they'll be arrows in the hand of a mighty man and the children of his youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. How awesome to have our children rise up and fight against the devil himself without us always fighting their battles for them. We grew up in a different generation where, you know, my father went through the Second World War. His father went through the First World War. And so there was a generation that was different. They were distant from us. And we hardly knew the affections of parents. But that has changed. But when we were growing up, because it was, they'd come back from wars, that, and these were world wars. And so they related differently to us. And, you know, our generation was a strange generation growing up when we were married. This was the thinking. One child was okay. Two was a mistake. And three is a crime. And so you didn't plan on having a large family. But that's because they came through a world war. They saw the horror of war on a world scale. But beloved, I want you to know that whether today or 1,000 years ago, our God is still able to keep our kids. He's still able to watch over them. We have people who told us not to have children, that it was a selfish thing to have kids in a rotten world. Why would you want to bring any child into a world like we are living in today? I think it's purely selfish, they would tell us. It's a selfish thing. What about their lives? You're not concerned about this child? Well, beloved, it's true. The world has been a rotten place since Adam fell. It has never changed. Murder takes place in the first opening pages of this first family. It's never changed. And we still have a God today who can keep us. So it doesn't matter what is going to happen in the future. Our God is still going to be around. He's still going to be able to hold our kids and keep them. And so we understand that this is not our fear. Now, faith is the only antidote to fear. Now, I'm going to start this message off tonight by giving you three biblical examples, and then we'll cut right into the heart of different thoughts that I want to bring into to see whether you are in fear or in faith. Now, in Exodus chapter 2, don't turn there. Let me just read it to you. We have a woman by the name of Jochebed, and she's married to a man by the name of Amram. And they have a daughter called Miriam. They have a son called Aaron. And then they have a third child. Now, you've got to understand that the conditions of having children in Egypt at this time were worse than the conditions in the United States. We've got it good in this country. We can come and go as we want. These people are living in economic hard times like nothing they've ever known before. And now there's a decree that every male child that is born needs to be aborted or killed at birth. That's pretty tough. These are hard, tough times. But beloved, you've got to understand that when the going gets tough, God is there to support us. He's always going to be there to support. So whatever you're going through tonight, in your family, in your home, there is a God who is going to look out over your hardships, and He's going to keep you in these hard times. And this is where we're headed. Yeah, we've got a woman who gets pregnant. I didn't want another child, she might have said to her husband. But she's pregnant. And she gives birth, and here is another male child. But you know, this is a woman of faith. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, is a woman of faith. Her and her husband have no fear of what the enemy is saying to them. And this is the key to this whole section when you read about Moses. It says, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. I want to tell you, parents, tonight. Young people, if you're here tonight, you're soon going to be married one day after counseling. And we know that the young man is saved. You'll have a child. You're going to need this tape. It's going to be in the rotunda for you, waiting for you. But the only way to keep a child is to hide them in God. You can't hide them with rules or regulations. You can't hide them by keeping them away from people. You can't hide them from the things of the world. You can't. You can try, but you're going to lose sleep. You're going to live in Psalms 127, the first part. I'm going to sleep. But you're going to be as nervous, you're going to be a nervous wreck if you're going to try and control your children by where they go and what they do. The only way to keep a child is to hide them in God. It's the only place that is a safe keeping. When they're in the hand of Almighty God, all hell can come against your family, but God will keep that child in the palm of His hand. And this is exactly what she's doing. She might be building this little boat out of reeds and putting tar around and putting it in the river. That might be just the physical side of what she's doing. But in her heart, she's saying, God, this child is from You. Children are a heritage of God. This is Your child. You keep him. And so she puts this child into the water, puts it out, and you just got to love the story. You just got to love how God operates. You're going to just love it. Because here comes this boat. It's floating down the river. And here's Moses in this little boat. And who should come down? But here comes the daughter of Pharaoh. I want to tell you something, beloved. The Bible says that it goes on to say, and Pharaoh's daughter took this child unto her, took the child away, and he said, she said to this young girl, Miriam, who was there, go find a nurse for me. So Miriam goes and calls her mother. I want a nurse to nurse this baby. Yeah? Okay, go get a nurse. Well, it just happens to be mom. Would you know that the state begins to pay? When you go God's way, He provides. Hallelujah. Don't go quiet on me. The state paid to look after Moses. When you go God's way, He finds the most impossible way to look after that child. He will go to any length and any distance, and He will find a way. And so the Bible goes on and says, the daughter of Pharaoh says, and I will give you wages to look after this child. Here's the bottom. God, this is your child. The only place to hide him is in you. It doesn't matter what I build, he'll be discovered. But my trust is in a living God. You will keep this child. And so she puts him in the water, and sure enough, not only does God honor her faith, but provides every step of the way. Now you've got to understand, beloved, that here is this young boy. We have a problem. You see, we don't like the public school system. Amen? Well, maybe some of you do. We see the public school system going downhill. And we want better teachers. We want more money for them. We want to get better security systems so no young kids are bringing guns and knives into the school. But here we have a person. But you see, when you understand, and this is what you've got to get a hold of in your spirit. You can't understand this with your mind. But you've got to get this into your heart, that when you take your child and you put this child into the hand of Almighty God, number one, he's going to provide for that child. All the way through all of his years, God's hand is going to be on that child and supply for it. Number two, you understand that even though he is schooled in the highest state schooling, he is schooled in the schools of Egypt. Think it through. He is in humanism. He is in all kinds of weird stuff that they believed in those days. This is Moses. This young child who was given to God. But for the first 1, 2, or 3, or even 4 years of this child's life, as this mother was nursing this child, here comes the prayer, here comes the commitment, here comes the faith. And the seed that is planted into Moses. Understand this, even though they're this high. You know, the other day we had our grandkids for 3 days. Our kids don't give us kids for 1 hour or 2 hours. We get our grandkids for 3 days at a time. Yeah, take them. They're yours. We'll be back in a week. Nothing is sacred with grandkids. But we've got this music going on. It's Greg Thomas singing on CD in our house. All around, everywhere I look, his love is all around. And so we got these grandkids and they're dancing on the carpet. So my wife turns off the CD. Now my granddaughter Fiona is only 4 years old. So you've got to understand that even from three, Hayden is three and she's 4 years of age. You've got to understand that what you sow into these kids, even at this age, God is able to keep, even though they go through years of humanism, even if they go through the world system, God is able to keep our kids. You've got to catch this by the Spirit. You can't think this thing through with the mind. So my wife turns off the CD and it's Fiona. She looks around and says, I like this music. Because there's something in the Spirit that these children absorb even when they are small. They understand God better than you and me. That's why Jesus says, don't forbid them to come unto me. And in fact, he says, I wish that your faith was like one of these little ones. So you've got to believe in your heart that when these kids are this high, that they have a faith that is so incredible, that they are so wide open to Jesus, that they receive him into their life and they just believe everything about God without any hesitation. And so this is what we see with Moses. We see that all the through the formative years, that in these early years, that Jochebed and Amram speak into the life of Moses a certain steel. Now the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. They chose in their heart, I am not going to fear what the devil says. I don't care if he pronounces himself king over the whole world. This mother and father said, I am not going to capitulate into the fear that my child is going to be lost sometime. See, that's what the whole world is telling you. That's what everybody thinks, that if your children go off into the world, they're going to be lost. I've got news for you. Jesus Christ walks with our kids. No matter where they go, there the Holy Spirit is, convicting them, touching them, raising them up for exactly the right time that God has purposed in His heart. The Bible goes on to tell us in verse 27 of Hebrews 11. Now you understand that the parents didn't fear. And this is something that you've got to get gripped into your heart, that God is able to keep our kids. You can't think it through. It's got to be caught in your heart, and you've got to say, God, I'm going to trust you in these first formative years. That's why when we get our grandkids, when our children come along and they say, oh, take them for a week, I say, give them to me. I lie on that bed. I hold them in my arms. I lay hands on them and I speak in them in Jesus' name. You will be raised up to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are called of God. When my son comes back and says, how were the kids? Just great. When they get out of hand, do you spank them? Absolutely. With a wet noodle. I prefer to lay hands on them. In Jesus' name, anoint this kid. Hallelujah. So at the time that they leave, after 3 days, Fiona looks at me. She says, oh, Grandpa. She says, Papa, I want to live with you forever. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because these formative years, you put steel into their spine. Beloved, when you speak the word of God into that, you're putting steel into their spine. Now listen to what the scripture says in verse 27. It says, by faith, talking about Moses. This is years later. Years later, he's failed and he's been raised up in Egyptian schools. He's long time gone on in life. And this is years later. He's had a failure. He's killed a person. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11:27, by faith, he forsook Egypt. And here comes the key words. Not fearing the wrath of the king. Beloved, where did he get that no fear policy from? Where did he understand not to fear the devil? Where did he get that steel in his spine years later? Even when he failed, where does that steel come from? It comes from parents, grandparents, you and I. New Christians come into the house of God. If you see somebody brand new saved, take them by the hand. Lay hands. No, take them by the hand. Look them in the eye. Men with men, women with women. And say, the devil is a liar. Don't fear him. He will never come against you and win the battle. For our God is a victorious God. Hallelujah. We're always parenting. We're always parenting. Spiritually, grandparently, new word. Parently. Another new word. Number two. Pastor Patrick is praying for me because I told him I've got to get through all these pages and we've just gone by the introduction. Number two, in another example, we heard Pastor Carter this last Sunday speak about Hannah and her weeping for a child. And then God meets with her and gives her a child and the child's name is Samuel. And the Bible says this, but Hannah went not up, this is going up to Jerusalem to worship God, for she said, now remember, she's got this child. So here is this baby in the formative years. And she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. You see, beloved, there was a faith. There's a faith in these people. That here is, as we heard Pastor Carter so powerfully on Sunday, speak about a backslidden society or backslidden church system. Why would you want to put your child into Sunday school in a backslidden church? You don't want to do it. And so we have this panic. Number one, we have a panic because our kids are going to get lost because they are in public school. That's the devil's lie to you. God's promise is I'll keep that child. And the seed you plant into him will last him all through his days. And the second thing is, why would we want to put a child into a backslidden Sunday school class? We're not talking about Times Square Church. We're talking about people have these fears. We get letters all the time telling us that the church is backslidden. We have people writing to us all the time. We don't know where to go to church. There's no church that's preaching the Word of God. There's no place where we can get the true Word of the Lord. Well, beloved, if your hope is just based on the Sunday school teacher, then you've missed the mark. They only support and strengthen what you've already taught them. If you haven't taught them at home, they ain't gonna get it anywhere else. Does that make sense? And so here we have this woman. Now listen to how the story unfolds. In her heart, she says, when I bring this child to God, notice, she says, I'm not bringing this child to this backslidden church. I'm not bringing this child to Eli and his lackadaisical ways. Well, what about the peer pressure of Hophni and Phinehas? Don't you think that spirit is going to jump on them and destroy his life? No. Because my hope is not in what they will teach him. But my hope is in a God who will keep him in what I've taught him. Hallelujah. So when we put into our children those things that put steel into their spine, I want to tell every expectant mother, every mother here today, every single parent of any child here today, I want you to leave the house tonight knowing our God is going to keep your child in the palm of His hand and you never have to fear. Even when it looks like there's a straying going on, how can they stray from the eternal Word of God? All you do is just get back into the prayer closet. We pray it on them. Don't lay it on them. So many parents lay it on their kids. Don't lay it on them. Pray it on them. Get in the closet. Oh, God, get a hold of his life. You've heard Ben Crandall. He was in midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, and standing by himself in Washington, D.C., and gripped by God. You see, it doesn't matter where it is. All you've got to do is do your part. Don't control through fear. Fear is the devil's tool. The thing that you fear will come upon you. So let's be done with fear and let's begin to trust God. So here we have this woman and she says, when I give him to God, he's going to abide there forever. He's going to abide with God. He's not going to a backslidden church. He's going to God. Oh, I'm getting a little excited, but I got to. But it's the truth. Amen. You can say amen. All right. So Elkanah the husband, he says unto her, do what seemeth thee good. He's a good man. He's a good husband. You want the billfold, honey? Sure. How much do you want? You want to, whatever you like, sweetheart. He's a good man. I like the attitude of this husband. Elkanah, her husband, said, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry. Stay at home. I'm going up to Jerusalem to worship like I do every single year. If you want to stay home with the baby, to put into the baby, do it. Stay home. I'm not saying stay home away from church, beloved. Don't get me wrong. But here's a man says, tarry until thou hast weaned him. Now listen to what he says. Only, and this is a good husband, this is a good father, only The Lord establish His word. In other words, if the staying back for this moment in time in the child's life that you want to stay with the child, if it's for the purpose of establishing God's word into his life, stay back. And so she stayed back. And the Bible says that therefore I have lent him to the Lord. Verse 28, this is in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 28. And so after the child has been weaned, then she says, so she's taken all this time as the child has been growing up, growing up, growing up. How old is Samuel? I don't know. But he can sure hear the word of the Lord. He can sure hear when someone's calling him, so he must be a young lad. She kept weaning him for a very long time. And she put into him a lot of word. So when he was in this house, this is what she says. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. Now, that is a clumsy English on the Hebrew, because it seems like, all right, God, this is my kid. I lend him to you. And then sometime you give him back to me. No. The Hebrew is saying, it is God who gave you the child. You do not own the child. The child belongs to God. And she said, my responsibility is not to own him, but to give into his life everything God would have me input into his life and then give him back to God to whom he belongs. Beloved, when we have that kind of an attitude, so as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. In other words, she's saying, God, you gave him to me for a season in time. But there comes a point when I turn around and I give him back to you. He's your child. You keep him. Beloved, if you want to sleep at night, you've got to come to the place where you understand you don't own the child. Amen? Amen. He's not your child. I remember us gladly saying, take him, God. Well, they were giving us problems, and so we were happy to give them back to God. No. Give them to God when they're young. Speak into their lives the word of God. Let your house be filled with music. Let it be the song of the Lord. They always get Times Square Church songs. Greg, you better be anointed every time you sing, my brother. Because those CDs are speaking into the lives of kids. My grandchildren know Christmas never ends from beginning to end. And we thank God that we slipped that CD underneath for next Christmas, because that's all we had week in and week out. Because that's all the kids wanted. Fill your house with music. Fill your turn the television off. Speak into their lives. We don't have TV in our house. They go through withdrawals because they got it at home. What are we going to watch, Papa? Me. Pray for you. No. Beloved, I get on my knees. They yank my neck. We get on our knees to pray, and they're pulling our face and running around and drag us. And we still thank you, Jesus, for these kids. But they are getting a visual that grandmama and papa pray. And we pray for them, and they love it. They climb all over us. I get down to where they are. I'm 53. I'm going to be 54. My body doesn't move like theirs anymore. But I get down and I play with them. They don't need television. They need a father in the house. They need mothers and fathers to get down on their hands and knees and play with these kids and talk to them about the things of God. Put steel into their spine. I'm telling you, beloved, this is a word from heaven for you not to fear what the devil has to say. God is going to keep our kids in this generation. Hallelujah. I get so excited about this. You gave him to me, I give him back to you. He's yours forever. And he turned out to be one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, did Samuel. What a mighty man of God Samuel was. Number three, let me talk to you about an adopted kid. Oh, parents die. How do they die? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how they die. But here is this young girl who loses her parents. Her cousin. It's her cousin. Mordecai. Takes her in. In Esther chapter 2 verses 7 and 8. And he brought up Hadassah. That is Esther. His uncle's daughter, which makes it his cousin. For she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful. And Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. And so here we have this man who brings this young girl into the home. Now, we get so many horror stories of relatives abusing children. We've got tons of testimonies of kids who are sexually abused, verbally abused, physically abused. Our newspapers are riddled with these stories. It seems to be that this is our generation where there is all of the sexuality because of the media. I tell you, beloved, we know that behind all the sexuality today is the devil. We understand that. But I tell you, the greatest tool of that devil is the media. And when you got that television on, he is piping that stuff right through on every single advert that he can. And he is condemning our children and getting into their spirits. If I had my way, beloved, I would ask you to chuck that thing right out of the house. Here we have this adopted kid come into this home. And this child is not only raised, but she's entered into this beauty contest. It's true. All of these young women were taken in to this place because the king was... He didn't want his queen any longer. He wanted a new queen. And so here is this young girl going right in to this place of captivity. She is in, as it were, in the very depth of the enemy camp. Right in the heart of it. Whether it was her choice or not, the Bible doesn't say. But the Bible says that she was selected out of many people to be in the house. In that king's house at that time. You've got to understand, this is their avowed enemy. And here she is, right in the very midst of the avowed enemy's camp. And God is with her. God not only makes sure, and this girl, you see the steel that is in the spine is this man Mordecai. He takes this little kid in to his household, raises her as his own daughter. And you've got to understand that only virgins were taken into the king's house to become maybe a queen. Only virgins were taken. So here is this woman who is now beautiful. I think that she's got the glory of God residing on the inside. It's not the dangling of her earrings. It's not the latest hairdo that she's got on. It's not the greatest fashions that she's wearing. There is something on the inside that's making this girl beautiful. And I believe that it is Almighty God raised in a household where this man served God all of his days. And we understand that this girl is taken in and she becomes the queen. It's an amazing story. It's the very thing we fear. Oh, our child has gone to New York City. How many letters we get, oh, please pray, my daughter or my son has left Arkansas. He's a good boy, grew up in the mountains. Now he's gone off to New York City. Please pray. We write back, did you put steel in his spine? Then I want you to understand it doesn't matter where he goes because his God is going with him every step of the way. And we understand that this young girl becomes queen. And you know the end of the story. Mordecai says to her, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. You see, beloved, in each one of these stories, God selected a deliverer, a judge, a prophet, a mighty individual. And the circumstances of their lives were nothing great at all. Financial hardships, difficult times, backslidden churches. And yet, and here in the middle of their captor's palace, God says, it's almost like God says, would you get your eyes off the external and thinking that this is what's shaping your kids? It's my spirit and my word on the inside that is shaping their lives. When the seed of God goes into the heart, beloved, it grows and it becomes a huge tree growing on the inside of their life. And so we see that he says that if you do not speak, deliverance will come from some other place. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. There was no fear in these people. There was no fear to release them back to God. There was no fear to let them go back into situations in this world. We've got people trying to hold their children away from the world. Don't go near that person! They're the wrong color! Don't go near that person either. They're backslidden. We're so afraid. And it's because the love of God is not settled in our own hearts. When the love of God is settled in our hearts, we love people. We love people. I love to take my little ducklings by the hand and walk them down the road. And when we see homeless, we'll take out and we'll give. I want them to see we love people. It doesn't matter. It puts inside of them a love for all people, beloved. And this is what God says. He raises. It's not the external that fashions our children. That is philosophy. That is psychology. Oh, he is this because his environment shaped him. Well, that's the world. But I want to show you biblical person after biblical person that was shaped and fashioned on the inside. In the most difficult of situations, because God was with them. That's an amen right there. Amen? All right. Let me share with you two quick testimonies, and then I'm going to give you an altar call tonight. Because I want us to pray faith into our hearts for this generation. We need you to stand in faith, and let's break the power of fear once and for all. Two quick testimonies. Here is a woman who writes, I went to Sunday school when I was small and learned about God. After I was married, I decided to go again and take my children. This is to church. We went regularly for a year. Then I skipped a Sunday. Soon I skipped one day, then 2 days, then 3 times. Then we went only on special occasions. Soon we became interested in fishing and hunting and sports, and the children loved it. 3 months ago, in a courtroom, I sat and heard a judge say, as he put the mallet down, 20 years. He was pronouncing sentence on my 21-year-old son, a punishment for drinking and robbery, which ended in the shooting of a man. the sentence might have been less, but my son was defiant in his attitude all through the court, ridiculing every officer who spoke to him. But the shock came when the judge said to him, "Young man, do you believe in God?" And my son laughed out loud and he said, "God? Who is that?" Beloved, here was a family that had a chance to do it right, but didn't do it. But let me give you a testimony of somebody many, many years ago. This is the testimony of Andrew Murray, born in South Africa. He returned to Scotland for his formative years. At the age of 17, he yielded his life to Christ. And this was because of the blessing of praying parents and the influence of godly men and women in his life. In the family of Andrew Murray, he had 11 children. Out of the 11 children, who all grew to adult life, 5 became pastors. 4 of the daughters married pastors. The next generation had even a more striking record, that 10 grandsons all became pastors and 13 grandchildren became missionaries. And the secret of this unusual contribution to the Christian ministry was the Christian home. I gave you 3 biblical illustrations and a man whose heritage is as long as his arm, of children and grandchildren going on to serve God. Tonight, you may have been raised in fear. You may have been raised with fearful parents. Tonight, we break it. We forgive them, we break it. You may be raising children full of fear. Tonight, we end the reign of fear and we begin walking in faith. Amen? Amen? And some of you young people, you're soon to be married. It's not a prophecy. Let's go into it in faith. Amen? Amen? Let's stand together. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, your word must speak. It's not the yelling or the loud preaching that we do that can save anybody. But Lord, your word must speak. Tonight, I ask that your word will remove fear. Lord, I believe in my heart tonight that there is already the spark of faith wanting to rise in people's heart tonight to trust you, even in a wicked and perverse generation. Our God is still able to save. Now, Lord Jesus, I ask that you cast fear out tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to either side of the exits. Come on down. Whatever, if you were raised in fear or you've got fear, tonight, let's ask God to take this out of our hearts and our lives and put us back into a place of faith. Beloved, listen to this promise of God for you tonight. It's an incredible promise. Verse 19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." So in other words, when you stand before mankind, you never have to fear what man can do unto you. Fear God. Trust in him. And listen to what he says. It goes on to say, this is Psalm 31, verse 19 and 20. And this is what he says in verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. So in the public schools, you work on a horrible job. You live in a bad neighborhood. Don't stand and fear man. God says, I'm gonna hide you in my presence. He says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. So right there in the public school system, the presence of God is camped round about that desk. He says, I'll hide them in my presence. And I will keep, he says, from the pride of man, thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. So it doesn't matter what anybody says to these lives, to your lives. It doesn't matter. Let them heap up every word that they speak against you in condemnation comes down in Jesus' name. And he'll hide you in his pavilion. He'll keep you secretly in his presence so that you can be in the worst possible place. Look at these little kids. You can be right there in that public school. And you know who's with you? God. Jesus is walking with you on the playground. All those bullies that come running at you, they have to deal with God. They can't touch you. They got to go through God. And he says, I'll keep you in the secret of my pavilion. This is the faith, beloved, that we enter into. Amen? Don't walk in fear. Fear is of the enemy. It has torment. Let's pray together. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight that you are still the God that can keep me and my children, grandchildren, spiritual children in New York City, in all the bad crime, all the bad things, my God can keep me. Now, Lord Jesus, I banish by faith every seed of fear that has gripped me and my life for years. That curse of fear this night is broken by faith in Jesus Christ tonight. I am a person of faith and I thank you. Now let me pray. Now Father, I thank you that you've given us not only examples, but you've given us a promise from your word that you will keep us from all the pride of men, all the strife of tongues. You'll keep us. I pray that, Lord, this house will be a house filled with men and women of faith. That we are not going to be disturbed by economic downturns. We're not going to be disturbed by a backslidden church that is out there. And we are definitely not going to be disturbed when we have to go and work right in the devil's nest. Because our God can crown us, protect us, and keep us. And we believe it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now give him thanks, beloved, with all of your heart. Give him thanks tonight. Hallelujah. Glory.
This is the conclusion of the message.